It's 88.5 KCSN. Sky Daniels, happy, really happy, as a matter of fact, to welcome Jade Jackson to the studio. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You had a fun weekend from what I hear.
I did.
Talk to us about the performance at Arroyo Seco.
Well, as I was kind of touching on earlier when I first got here, there was all these just really pleasant surprises because we were the last addition to the festival. And so we thought because of that, you know, we might be playing on a pop-up stage like in the parking lot, or it just seemed a little too good to be true. And just because of, you know, all the other artists on the roster, just artists that I and my band and I have just really listened to, looked up to, and been inspired by. And so anyways, when we got the main sheet that said we were on the main stage, that was a pleasant surprise. And then when we got to our dressing room and it was overlooking the Rose Bowl and there was like all these like snacks in there, and like that was a pleasant surprise. And then when we got on the stage, it was like the biggest stage we've ever played, which was a pleasant surprise. The sound was really good for outside. Another pleasant surprise. And then we were on Jumbotrons for the first time. So it was just filled, sprinkled with all. And then after our performance, I mean, because we went on the beginning of the day, we got to stick around and see all of our, you know, favorite artists perform, like VIP kind of section where we could actually see them. We weren't in the nosebleeds like we're used to. I don't know. You know, we're just starting out. So all this fancy stuff is really... still new and really, really amazing for us.
You were a huge fan of Social Distortion. As a matter of fact, I believe that's the first concert you went to perhaps unchaperoned? I don't know.
Yeah, so my dad actually used to take us to, like, we actually saw like Ray Price and George Jones, and we used to go see those guys when I was a kid. But Social Distortion was the first concert I went to where I got my own ticket and went by myself unchaperoned without the folks.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So. That was that, and your father was a fan of Social D, right?
Yeah, he was. And I mean, he probably would have went with me, but they were just opening a new business and they didn't have the time. And I was like, well, can I just go by myself? Which I didn't think they would let me do. I was a little sheltered as growing up, you know, but they let me go. And I stood there and just got inspired to do what I'm doing now. And so that's why the word serendipity comes into play, is because it was a decade after I saw that performance, which inspired me to do this as a career, that Mike Ness contacted me and wanted to help me. So it was just an aha moment.
But my motorcycle only seats one. In the river where the lakes and the ocean mix, please understand, I feel my boot heels sick and quick, saying baby every time we kiss. Though I must go and I can't move slow, I guess you're paying for the things you've done. Oh, understand, boy, it's been fun, but my motorcycle only seats one. Was pitched, he swung and hit. He left me standing out center field, staring up, holding out my mitt, trying to catch a love he didn't feel. Diamond and dust, I gave all of my trust. All he wanted was to hit a home run. So please don't cry, boy, it's been fun. But my motorcycle only seats one.
Now, as much as there's this kismet connection to Mike and Social D, is it intimidating thinking, well, I'm going to go on in front of my heroes?
You know, I've found, because we did the first leg of the tour with them already, right. So we've already done 5 weeks with them, and then we took a couple months off, and now we're doing the 8 week other side of the country. And I kind of find most of my peace just as a human in general when I'm on stage, regardless of where I'm standing. And it was intimidating before I'd done this last tour, only because I'd heard that Social Distortion's audiences are generally really hard on the openers. Like Mike was like, if anybody, you know, he was sort of anticipating people would give us, you know, a hard time. And so he kind of just was trying to walking me through like what I should do if any guy like yells at me, or if any girl yells at me, like you should do this or this. So I had anticipated that, but none of that happened. And on the contrary, people were really supportive. And I think it's because the people who see Social Distortion concerts are actually really the fans of their music. And so they kind of were aware that Mike was producing my album. And if Mike thinks it's cool, they think it's cool. So because of his hands in the record, I was getting a really nice treatment from
him. He vouched for you, and totally. That vouch goes a long way. Sometimes you were homeschooled, sometimes you were not. And many people I know that were homeschooled, they end up creating this own universe in their head. You know, it's like they start projecting how they think the world's going to be. Was that the case with you? Were you one that was, for lack of a better term, daydreaming about all the possibilities you could conjure up in your mind?
Well, I was actually only homeschooled for just a couple of years in high school. And I did that because I started performing when I was 13, so around seventh, eighth grade. And so by the time I was a freshman in high school, like between working at my parents' restaurant and playing shows, I was playing about four shows a week, just coffee shops, alleyways, wineries. That's what I wanted to do. And I was headfirst going towards it. School was kind of plan B, you know.
So you'd already jumped in, and with obviously your parents' approval that
oh, yeah.
You were making a go of it.
Yeah, and they were letting me. So when I was homeschooled, it was just easier to put my career first. But, I mean, as a kid, even when I was in school, I was always daydreaming. I mean, I don't know how I passed. I tried hard. I cared about and respected all my teachers, but like, I look back on old notebooks and homework sheets I had, and they were just filled with lyrics. Like, my brain was always in writing.
Turn, let me walk over the bridges I to the hole in my chest where his love used to burn. And I'm tired of living this way, weary from hurt, and I'm weakened from hate. Lord, when will my lessons be learned? Let me walk over the bridges I have burned. Lord, when will my tides turn? Let me walk over the bridges I have burned. Cold, severed, and steel.
When you move to Santa Margarita, the Range is their restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I assume you're waitressing or doing some sort of work at the cash register or something, right?
And when they first bought the restaurant, it was sort of a smaller kind of hamburger stand type of thing. So we opened it as a sandwich shop before they slowly, as they got money, built it into what it is now. And so I was there from the beginning. I was there cleaning and serving sandwiches out the window when I was like in seventh grade. And then once it was an actual restaurant, I was a busser until I was 16. And then I started waitressing, and I still waitress there now. And I'll go in though. If I'm around during the day, I'll go help clean the windows and mop the floors and stuff with my mom, because it's kind of a family run thing, and I like to help out and make a little money, you know.
I like this. Well, the point of my asking such a question is I heard you talk about how painfully shy you were, yet from 13 or 14, you avidly began to pursue a career as a performer, and you were working directly with people in helping out at your parents' restaurant. So it would seem that you conjured up an ability to communicate and to be in front of people and gain confidence that you know, it was that vacillation between, you know, you'd like to be alone and you just want to be in your own thoughts. And here, everybody, here's my thoughts. I'm going to perform right now. So how does that transformation take place?
Well, you know what? And I'm just kind of realizing this for the first time. I've noticed in just looking back on my life is when I feel like I'm on the right path, like my personality comes out and I come out of my shell and I can navigate and work through situations. The times when I was at school, you know, learning things that I was supposed to learn but wasn't really interested in, or around kids that I didn't relate to, or, you know, maybe out on a Friday night rather than home with my guitar. That was never the right path for me, and I could feel that in my gut, and therefore I just closed up and I was really shy. Right now, doing this interview, being on stage, like, that ignites something in me that makes me feel whole in a way, so it kind of gives me the confidence and the strength I need to move forward in that direction. It's interesting. I don't know. It's just, yeah, if you pluck me out of this realm and put me into somebody else's like social gathering, I'll probably go in the corner and be awkward.
I don't care about things 'cause they don't care about me. My skin's a lot thicker than you think it'd be. I don't need nothing to tie me down. I don't need no one to care should I leave town. I saw the way they looked and I heard them laugh. They couldn't wait to talk until I turned my back.
You're going to be playing Ohana Fest on September 8th. The proverbial buzz is really growing on you. So good for you.
Thanks. And well, thanks for your support.
And it was great to have you out. We've wanted to connect, and we're glad we could finally connect. Jay Jackson, everyone. The album is Gilded, and you heard her live today on 88.5 KCSN. Thanks.
Thank you.